morning. How are y'all this beautiful Sunday morning? Isn't it another great day to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, yeah, we're going to enjoy this, y'all. So sit back and pray to the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the many blessings You give us. We thank You for this opportunity to come in Your house, Lord, and lift praises under Your name, Lord. We ask that You be with those who can't be here for whatever reason. And we especially ask for You to be with Miss Jo Hopkins, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in the truth. John 4:24.
Good morning. Let's stand and sing. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Amen.
You may be seated. Want you to know, be in prayer for Brother Dennis and his family. They are on their way to Puerto Rico to look at mission opportunities that they've got there. But just pray for their safe travels and safe return. Want to welcome you to First Baptist. If you are not a member, we want to welcome you as a guest. There's lots of new faces. Well, not new faces. People we know that are back in town, and we very much appreciate you being here. If you're a guest and you have not filled out a card, one of these slips of paper in the bulletin, would like for you to do that so we'd have a record of your visit and be able to reach out and touch base with you. If you have a care concern that needs to be brought to our attention, please just fill that out, put it in the offering plate, and we would be very, very appreciative of it. Want to remind you of two things this afternoon. After our service, we'll have our annual business meeting, talk about nomination as well as our deacon elections. And also want to bring to mind to you a new ministry that we're starting. You may have heard about it in Sunday school. It's called Grow. And what we need from our church folks is just to be here on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And what Grow is an outreach, in-reach ministry where we just write letters to those that are in need. We want to encourage them. We want to let them know we're thinking about them. So if you can be here on Wednesday nights to help us write letters to those folks, we'd really, really appreciate it. As mentioned before, please be in prayer for Miss Jo Hopkins. If you're not aware, she had a stroke. She's up in Navison at Macon in the neuro ICU. She's in stable but still critical condition, so we want to remember her. All right. If you will, please pray with me. God, we just thank You for allowing us to be here, for waking us up this morning so that we could be in Your house with Your people and Your spirit. We pray that You would move in this place this morning, that all that we do would bring honor and glory to You. We lift up those that are on our minds, those that we are missing today that can't be here for different reasons. We especially lift up Miss Jo and that family, and just pray that You would be with them as they struggle with the situation they're in, be with the doctors and nurses that are caring for Miss Jo. Also want to pray a special prayer for Gwen and Dan, just that You would give them the endurance and the steadfastness. Thank You for allowing them, even though they're have different concerns and stuff, they're still here. And we just thank you for their presence. Be with us now as we lift your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus calls you his friend. Do you call him your friend? Do you spend time with him? Do you talk to him? Do you listen to him? We do all these things with our friends, but do we do it with the most important friend that we have? I call him my friend, and I hope you do too. Stand and sing.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, that how you love me?
Glad that we're all friends of God. We all face times when we feel burdened, discouraged, or uncertain, but what a blessing it is to know that we have a friend who is always there, Jesus. He invites us to bring every need we have to him in prayer.
Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry
When Lisa asked me about doing a song this week and with the theme of the message of friendship and being a friend of God, I thought this song fit perfectly. And I remember this song when I was a kid. I used to go to the Sunday school down the road, and for VBS, my parents didn't go, but it was like within walking distance. And there was this older man. And he used to always say that joke. He'd always say, "Do you know what God's name is?" And I was like, "No." And he would say, "It's Andy." And I was like, "Andy?" And he'd say, "And he walks with me." And so it always makes me think of him. So this is In the Garden.
With me
and he tells me I am his own. In the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Well, good morning, Brother Dennis. As y'all know, or the family, or I don't know if they're there yet or not, or fly on their way, or where they are in their process, but ultimately they're going to wind up in Puerto Rico for a little time of family vacation. But I think also he's going to be looking at meeting with a pastor there. Of course, y'all know that some time ago the island was hit by hurricane, and a lot of devastation and destruction, and so I believe he's going to be meeting with the pastor there and surveying the situation there, so we need to be in prayer for that as well. And so Brother Dennis assigned me a topic. Have we got any teachers here? I've been assigned a topic, and believe me, this one has almost been like my senior paper. It was a tough one. But the Lord has helped me at least have something to share with you this morning. So I hope I make a good grade on my paper here. The topic is time to evaluate our friendships. And of course, we're coming out of a series here where Dennis is leading us and looking at time, and this just kind of jumped out at me when I was thinking about that general topic. Of course, we know that we're looking at, we want to stay focused on our vision to be a family of faith that glorifies God, and so certainly as we think about how we use our time, that glorifies God, how we use our time and to help one another. And that leads then into the idea of evaluating our friendships. But thinking about time, these three names kind of came up to me. When I was a boy living in Texas, it was all about the Dallas Cowboys. Amen? I mean, it was all about the Dallas Cowboys. Every Sunday, we watched the Dallas Cowboys play. And so as a young boy, my daddy would say, "Oh, listen, John, here's a man. He's the fastest man in the world." Does anybody remember Bob Hayes? Do you remember Bullet Bob Hayes? He was the fastest man in the world. And I get all excited to see him run down the field like he would. He set the world record at 9.1 seconds for the 100-yard dash. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Now, recently, I was thumbing through my phone scrolling down, looking at some things, and I ran across this name, Josh Kerr. Has anybody heard of Mr. Josh? Have you heard of him? Well, he's from England. And Josh Kerr has now set the world record for the mile, 3.42 seconds. Sorry, 3.42 minutes. Pretty fast. Amen? So we've got this perspective of time, of getting there in a hurry. Well, then I kind of wanted to look at the other end of the spectrum. And so I went to Guinness Book of World Records, and I won't try to pronounce that first name, but Sheres Joachim. He's from Canada, Well, guess what Mr. Joachim accomplished? In 74 hours, nonstop, without stopping, continuous, rocking in a chair. He set the world record. Anybody want to try to beat him? I don't reckon so. But that brings us kind of to today's thought of evaluating. It's time to evaluate our friendships. In the section of Ecclesiastes where our scripture comes from today, in the first three chapters of Ecclesiastes, and I like to use the word preacher because the writer can be referred to in Ecclesiastes as the preacher. The preacher shows the folly, now this is in the first three chapters, the folly of finding meaning in learning alone or in pleasure alone. You read those first three chapters, he really, you know, he said, I wanted to find out all I could know. And then he said, I wanted to just have all the pleasure I could have. And at the end of the day, he said it was vanity, meaningless. But in the beginning of this fourth chapter, where we're going to look at a passage here today, he said that it's meaningless and vanity to try to find meaning in work or in business alone. If that's the only objective that we have, is to seek meaning in work or in business, according to this writer of Ecclesiastes, it's meaningless. It's vanity. So if you would, we're going to turn over to chapter 4 now in Ecclesiastes. And if you want to stand up, would you please, with me in honor of God's word? Now I'm going to read here for you. We're starting verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, please be with Dennis and his family today. Just be with them. Keep them safe. Oh, Lord, we do pray for Miss Jo. We just lift her up to you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask now that you would speak to our hearts. We're going to look into your word, and we're going to trust you to teach us and show us what we need to know. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, in the strictest sense of reading this passage, in the very strictest sense of the wisdom literature of Scripture, this passage comes out of a section of the Bible that's called the wisdom literature. It really is a picture of two or more men traveling on a road in the ancient Middle East. And what we would see here for the folks that this was written for, that would be the picture they would have in their minds of two men. The roads in those days were treacherous. It'd be easy to fall and stumble. There were a lot of opportunity. We know from the Road of Jericho story, there were thieves, there were bandits. There was certainly no lighting along the road, and so a lot of things could happen. And so here we have this picture, and it's kind of interesting that in the middle of this very almost depressing line of thinking through Ecclesiastes, just, oh, it's just, this is worthless, this is bad, it couldn't get any worse, we have this little kind of parentheses set here in the book, and this passage, and he's giving us some very personal and practical advice. So we ask ourselves the question this morning is, what are some qualities of a good friend? And the first thing that I came up with is that friends have a common purpose. So if you look at verse 9 again, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. You know, Mitzi will tell you this, my brain works in an odd way. I see things and just kind of interesting when I come up with something. And so Brother Vic and I have had some time to conversate about some things, and I really appreciate his service. And through my life, I've always really admired, especially pilots. My father was a pilot in World War II. So I'm going to ask Brother Vic if he would come up here a minute and share a little example, because I really thought this was a neat visual when we're talking about two are better than one.
Okay, as John said, I was a pilot. Our basic unit in flying is two aircraft. There's no mission that we do with only one aircraft. We do that for two reasons, things called mutual support, so we're there for each other, and situational awareness. We increase the knowledge of what's going on around us, the idea of two heads are better than one, four eyes are better than two. So we always want to be there for each other. If we're flying along and one has an emergency, we don't tell him to go take care of it. We go with him to take care of it. One's the flight lead, one's the wingman. You know, think of it this way. If someone's handling an emergency, he's busy flying his aircraft, I can be reading to him the checklist, all right? So we learn to take care of each other, look out after each other. There's this idea called check six. It's a very common phrase among aviators. So I want to try to tell you what that means, because it exemplifies what this means, the trust and loyalty that we have. So typically when we're flying, we go, this is a tactical formation, we fly about 6,000 feet apart, and the numbers over there on the right, think of it as a face of a clock. So I'm going to turn around and give you my back, I'm sorry. So if we're going forward, that's 12 o'clock. Over here is 3 o'clock, over here is 9 o'clock, behind us is 6 o'clock. We use that to communicate to each other. In other words, if we're flying and we see a problem over here, I go, hey, bogey, 2 o'clock. High. That tells you where to look. But notice where 6 o'clock is. You can go to the next slide. So 6 o'clock is directly behind me. I have very good visibility in the cockpit, but where I can't see is my 6 o'clock right behind me. That's where we tell, you know, when we're flying against somebody and trying to kill them, we go to their 6 o'clock. You can go to the next slide. So what I depend on is the guy beside me to check my 6. Go to the next slide. So he is the one looking out for somebody that tries to sneak up behind me. So this idea of checking six, we're counting on the loyalty, trust. I wouldn't go anywhere with him. And I'll say this in closing, is that the camaraderie we have amongst pilots is very, very strong. We depend on each other, not only in while we're up in the air, but while we're on the ground as well. So if I say check six, please look out for me.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Isn't that a visual for you? Isn't that just, when he shared that with me, I just, man, it just, boom, I just thought, wow, if we lived like that, think about it. If we lived like that, what a difference it would mean in our lives if we knew without a shadow of a doubt that there was that individual or that group of people, actually, even, that had our back without question. Another illustration, and I'm going to pick on one other member, Brother Cliff. Brother Cliff. Y'all may or may not know that for many years, I've served in churches all along, but for many years, bivocationally. And during that bivocational period, I washed windows. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. And everybody asked if I dangled from... No, I didn't know dangling. I was not a dangler. I did have a 40-foot pole. And I did climb up some places I didn't tell her. But I washed windows. And so one day I got a call from a church in Marshallville that wanted their windows cleaned. And so I went over to look at it. And it was at a period of time where I really didn't, it was a big job, and I knew what it was going to take, and I really needed to get it done in a hurry. And so I called Brother Cliff. Y'all give Cliff a hand, because Cliff came over to Marshallville and helped me. Now, it was a learning curve for Cliff a little bit, but he helped me, and honestly, I would not have been able to get it done without his help, but I'll never forget Cliff. He was willing to do it, and he helped me. Amen. I mean, that was a time, and we had a common purpose to get that job done, even though there were some difficulties in doing it. Another thing that friends do is, I believe, that friends, a good friend, looks for opportunities to help each other. Friends look for opportunities to help each other. So if you look back there at verses 10 through 12a, for even if either of them fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls where there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if the two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one is if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. When I was in seminary, I had a professor of evangelism, and this professor actually was diagnosed with cancer, and through that whole semester that I was in his class, he eventually passed away not long after that. So it was a very, you can imagine what this professor wanted to impress upon us, knowing that his time was limited. But every day in class, he would come in and say the same thing. Relationship is the most important word in the English language. You ask Mitzi, how many times have I said that out loud? Relationship is the most important word in the English language. Now, one of the things that I've kind of discovered through the years that concerns me, and I really saw it during the pandemic, it really concerned me a lot, about relationships, and that's that more and more everything that was done or thought about or considered was based on fear. Just scared to death, honestly. If you remember back to that time, how it just seemed like everything was motivated out of a sense of fear. And if you think about even today in our life, of our relationships with one another, do we really trust? Can we trust? Can we really say that I can have a relationship with another person and trust that person. Scripture that came to my mind was 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so we think about those relationships. We want to operate in that spirit of not having fear, but love. Amen? Amen? Then I got to thinking about, you know, how we operate in this way. And I thought about the fruits of the Spirit. And if we look there at Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And in reading some of the commentary on this passage, I like the way that it said that the foundation, of course, and this is sort of a duh, the foundation of everything we do is what? Love. Amen? That's the foundation, okay? But out of that then, this was really, y'all, of all that I looked at in preparing, this got me most excited. I really like this. I don't know if it'll translate the way it did to me, but that word kindness. And I did a little study of the root of that word in the original language. One commentator said that word kindness literally meeting real needs in God's way in His timing. And then another one said that it's the Spirit produced goodness which meets the need and avoids human harshness and cruelty. And you think about friendship, you know, I know us guys, we're kind of woof, you know, we don't often think of the touchy-feely, but you know that word kindness, when I saw this, it blew my mind. But if you go down to the very root word, do you know what it means? In the original language, it meant hand. So when we think about opportunities of helping each other, what are you looking for? Someone to give you a hand. Isn't that beautiful? That to be kind, to look for opportunities to help each other, we give them a hand. We've got their back. Amen? We give them a hand. And all of us can probably, every one of us could get in this room, stand up in this room and give a testimony of a time when in your deepest need, someone was there to help you. Amen? We can all give that as a testimony. But how important is that in our relationships? I think about in the scripture, for example, in Luke chapter 5, what did the four friends do with their crippled friend? What did they do? They bored a hole in the roof and lowered him down in the middle of the crowd. Four friends gave him a hand. He couldn't have gotten there on his own. Or what about in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan? Now this fella didn't even know that other fella. He just helped him. He gave him, not only gave him a hand, he carried him to the inn. He helped him. He got him, probably got him cleaned up, got him food. Took care of all of his needs and then told the innkeeper, "Look, whatever this man needs, I'll pay it. Take care of him." And I know those are rather some extreme examples, but even in our day-to-day life, are we looking for opportunities? Is that a motivation? You know, Vic, our class today, wow, that lesson we had in our class today kind of bullseye right between the eyes, isn't it, about thinking of others more than we think of ourselves. It's a tough lesson, but it's what the Bible says. Then another, of course, friends can be trusted in that building of relationships. You know, again, we could all probably stand up in this room today, every one of us, and tell that time when somebody hurt us, somebody close, somebody we really loved just hurt us. And that does make it hard to trust, doesn't it? But the Bible teaches us that we need to forgive. And again, that relationship, building those relationships. But the goal should be that friends can be trusted. When I first came to Georgia, I was working with some youth in the church there. And so we did a camp one summer, and I called it Extreme Camp. And we did some stuff. But one of the things we did, we went up to North Georgia, up to the college there, Truett-McConnell, and not far away there is Mount Yona. Do y'all know where Mount Yona is? Okay. And I had with me, as one of my counselors, a Marine recon. A warrant officer, Marine recon. And believe me, this man was tough. He was tough. But he was one of my counselors. So one of the things we wanted to do is he brought all of the gear to rappel. Has anyone done any rappelling? Okay. I had never rappelled. But at the top of that mountain was my Marine recon, who had the anchor deep into the, I don't know how he had it, but he had it anchored at the top. And down at the bottom was a college student that I'd brought with us. And he was the belay at the bottom holding the rope. And believe me, I trusted both of these guys as we rappelled down Mount Yona. Had a ball, had an absolute ball, rappelling. And then another illustration about trust, and this one's a little of a stretch, but when I saw this, it brought me back to that verse 12, where it says in verse 12, the last part of verse 12, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. The Golden Gate Bridge is suspended by two huge cables. And within those cables that are huge, there's 27,572 individual carbon steel wires bound together in each of those two. Each of those two main cables has that many. Each of the cables is 7,600 feet long, and together they weigh, with the supporting structures, 24,500 tons, holding up the Golden Gate Bridge. And every day, lots of folks go across it. So there's just that picture in my mind of those cords that hold that bridge up. But what the Lord wants for you and me today is He wants us to be bound together as brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us, and y'all, I'm telling you, our pastor, this is his heart, is that we be one. one in heart, that we be a family of faith that glorifies God. Amen? And that takes work. You know, it's not in our nature. It's not in our nature. It's something that requires us conforming to the image of Christ, to become more like Jesus, to trust, to be willing to give, to be willing to look out for one another. And then friends build lasting relationships. And all I could think on this one, y'all, is this beautiful, beautiful picture. I'm going to read the whole passage. It's a little long, but I'm going to read the whole passage in Acts chapter 20. Because to me, this is one of the most beautiful in all of Scriptures when it gets right down to what it means for us as believers, followers of Jesus. It just doesn't get any better than this. So in chapter 20 of Acts, verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia that I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greek of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I have, whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that I, by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the words which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship. Amen. What a picture. What a word of encouragement to us, that when we build lasting relationships, when we look out for one another, when we have helping hands, when we can be trusted and trust. It makes all the difference. Amen? Makes all the difference. In closing, I wanted to bring it to this point that ultimately, as humans, we're going to fail. Not everybody's going to treat us right, and we're not going to treat everybody right. But what has our pastor said to us over and over the last few weeks? Isaiah 41:10. You quote it with me? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's got you. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus. And you may be here today, and you do know the Lord, but it's been a while since you've really talked to Him. Or you've really said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the next level. There's a scripture in Revelation chapter 3 that is used a lot in evangelism. But actually, Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea. And he said, you know, you guys have become lukewarm. I want to spit you out of my mouth. You've become lukewarm. That was to the church in Laodicea. And then he said to them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and will dine with him and he with me. What do you love to do with friends? What do we love to do with friends? I'll meet you. Let's go to Denny's. Let's go to S&S. Let's go. We love to, don't we? But faithful believers, if there's questions in your mind, if you've struggled, if there's, Jesus is standing at the door, knocking. He wants to come in and have that intimate relationship with you. If you're here today and you can say, if I died tonight, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I don't know if there was a time when I've asked Jesus to come into my life to save me. He's still standing at the door knocking. And he wants to come in. And then finally, this is just what I felt I needed to say to sum it all up. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What did those hands do? What did those hands do? Lord, we thank you again. Just, Lord, if there's somebody here today that needs to come forward, I pray that this would be that day. If not, Lord, speak to hearts. Speak to hearts today, Lord. Meet the need. You are the greatest friend in the world. Amen.
Stand and sing with us hymn 554, As the Deer.
Thank you. We're ready for our business meeting. You may be seated.